Well, back when I was young and cute and Lori and I had just started dating, Lori was leading youth group. And she took her youth group on a special event to go bowling. Well, I don't know if you've ever been bowling before, but bowling is boring. So that didn't last for very long. And we decided instead that we would play laser tag, which was on the other side of the bowling alley. And so we thought that would be a fun activity. If you've never done that before, you know, you're in a dark room with these laser guns and you shoot people in their vests. And every time you shoot it, the vest kind of jiggles and basically it gives you a point every hit that you get. And that's the idea. And there's two sides of the room and there's a line in the middle and you're not supposed to cross that line. Well, not only was I young and cute, but I was young and cute and foolish. And I decided what I would do is be silly and hop the dividing line. The rule was you can't pass that line. I thought it would be funny to jump that line and get a lot of quick attacks really fast, you know, being goofy and breaking the rules. Because after all, it's dark. Nobody sees what's going on. Who's going to get hurt from this? And the answer is Lauren. Because what happened is as I jumped over and I was getting close to their section, she turned a corner really fast, and she hit my gun. I'm not going to say I hit her, but she hit my gun right in the eyebrow, okay? And it was dark in there, but it still didn't take very long to realize that it broke the skin. And so here she is bleeding from her eyebrow, and we have to leave the game. And so I took her out of the other room, and the youth group kind of followed, and that was the end of the fun activity because we all drove home. And I was driving at this point, and I have to say it was to great shame, great embarrassment to hear the kids in the youth group calling their parents and saying, we're coming home early because Lauren's new boyfriend hit her with a gun. that didn't feel good. But one question remains from all of that, after all of these years, how on earth, Rick and Connie, did you let her marry me? I'm just imagining the line of, does anybody object to this marriage? And Rick is sort of thinking, well, he hasn't gun-butted her in a while. But what could happen? You know, it was done in the dark, after all. So we talked last week a little bit about true discipleship. If you remember, we finished the carbo loading that we were doing on the bread of life. And then we entered into some of the disciples leaving. And I talked about how shocked I was to read that word disciples there. That it wasn't just hangers-on or seekers, but disciples, people who actually had said that they would give their lives to Jesus and sit at his feet and learn from him and take his yoke upon them to be lifelong learners of Jesus and follow him and act like him in every way. And then they just got up and left because the teaching was too hard. And how shocking that was. And we went back to that section in the parables when this kind of came up again, you know, the disciples sort of saying to Jesus, these teachings are a little hard. You might want to dumb them down, Son of God, so we might understand them a little bit more. You might be more successful and more popular if it made sense to people. And Jesus says, remember what Isaiah told you, that the people have these hardened hearts, that no matter how easy I made it, their hearts are so hard, their ears will never hear. Their eyes will never see. And so it doesn't matter how easy or hard I make it. The people with hardened hearts have already decided. They've made up their mind to try to figure it out themselves, not to trust in God for the answers. And if they don't understand, they're out of there. And he says the people who truly get it, the ones who truly get it, lean in a little bit closer. You know, the ones who truly listen, understanding will be granted because it comes not from them. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus wants in those moments, even when we don't understand, is to lean in a little bit closer, to hear him. And we talked about how a true disciple has a softened heart to the things of God. A true disciple leans in closer to Jesus, even when he doesn't understand. And this week we are taking up lesson two in our discipleship academy. We are now with Jesus as he's teaching and he's preaching. And this week the Pharisees, come up to him. And you know, it's trouble because they are there not to listen or to learn. They're there to find fault with him, to trap him up, to confuse him, and ultimately to find something to accuse him of. Who's the accuser? To accuse him of doing wrong so that they can stop his ministry altogether. So the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, these folks that, add on to everything that God said to make their own laws, and then they become judge and jury and executioner to these laws. You know, they are the keepers of the law, the executive and legislative and judicial branch all in one as far as the law is concerned. And the first thing that they notice when they see Jesus and his disciples is that the disciples, some of them at least, are not washing their hands before meals. And this isn't a hygiene issue. It's a ritual cleansing. They would take water and they would clean their hands as a way to show that they have washed off all of the impurities from those who prepared this meal. They have taken away all sin by ritually washing themselves clean of it. Where is that in the Ten Commandments, right? But they come to Jesus and they say, why is it that your disciples don't do that? Why aren't they following this law, this custom? And of course, Jesus gently pats them on the head and tells them, you might be misunderstanding this a little bit. Now get on, you little scamps, right? He's very gentle. No, he does the exact opposite. He says the worst thing that you can call somebody as far as religious piety is concerned, right? He calls them hypocrites. You guys are hypocrites. And he quotes Isaiah again, and he says, you people, honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Because you make up these man-made rules and pass them on as God's commandments. You guys are hypocrites. You look fantastic on the outside, but inside you're falling apart. You might do everything right. Your outfit might be on point, but inside, your heart is far from God. Jesus calls them something else later in the scriptures. He calls them whited sepulchres in the old King Jimmy. In other words, whitewashed tombs. Beautiful, beautiful mausoleums. Think Taj Mahal. But inside, there are decaying bones, festering, destroyed death inside. And so no matter how good they look on the outside, they're corpse houses. That's what's going on. They look beautiful on the outside, but inside, they are filled with death. Now, of course, this is only a problem then, right? That doesn't happen today. You guys, all across our country, pastors and deacons and elders in the church are getting up right now as we speak and resigning in their churches because they signed up for a website that not only encouraged adultery, but helped people to engage in it. Some pastors that are in the know about different churches are estimating upwards of 400 church leaders are going to resign this morning. And I'm not trying to be critical of any of this, but I want to talk about this continued epidemic of whitewashed tombs. Because I don't think anyone will argue with me that anyone, when they announce this, no one in the churches are going to stand up and say, that's pretty much what I figured. It's going to be met with shock and disbelief because there's no way that this could happen. He was always on time. He always was funny, but in an appropriate way. He was always well-dressed, so well-loved. How could it be that the outside and the inside looked so different? And again, I'm not criticizing because we all have our stuff. We all have those things that make us so we fall short of the glory of God. And I'm not saying that their sin was the worst of all time. After all, we're all the chief of sinners. And my guess is, as you read that list of the things that come out of a wicked heart that Jesus talks about, one or two of those yucky things, whether it's lust or greed or adultery or malice or evil, one of those things pierced your heart a little bit more than others. Something that you know that you might be dealing with. And we all have these things. You know, one of the things that Lori and I were talking about this week, just actually we were talking about vandalism at the time, is there really is no such thing as a victimless crime. There's really no such thing as a victimless sin. You know, those 400 people represent something even bigger. A real dishonoring. It's a dishonoring of their spouses, of their families, of crushed ministries, of how many countless souls that will be lost and confused as a result of this. That's dishonoring. And ultimately, who is it the most dishonoring to but God Himself? Because what happens when we sin is we bring dishonor to God alone. And yet, we can be so good. We can continue on the service. We can say all the prayers right. We can cross ourselves at the right time. We can do all of the hallelujahs and probably not even drop our wafer when we come up for communion. And yet, where is your heart? And I'll tell you that the devil is prowling around, waiting to attack. And he's not going to attack the church and accuse us of singing off key or dressing in shabby clothes to church or not doing our liturgy correctly. He's not going to accuse us of any external impurity. He's going to point out, look at these people. They honor God with their lips, but where were their hearts? Look how far away they were. How dishonoring to God. And ultimately what happens when we dishonor God in this way is we give the devil just one more piece of ammunition. And what it means is that the people out there that are seeking, that are looking for hope in some area of their lives, that deeply need Jesus, the bread of life, are going to see us in our fall, in our whitewashed tombs, and say, wow, Christianity must not work. Jesus must not work. That's the consequence of honoring God with our lips, but not in our daily lives, in our hearts. But here's the good news, okay? Every one of us is struggling with something from that list. That's not the good news, I'll get there. Every one of us is struggling. And if you don't know which one you're struggling with, come see me, I'll tell you. But we all have one of those things, two of those things, all of those things. And it's okay, because we don't have to be perfect. For every one of those people resigning today, this could be their best day ever, because they could make the decision to finally stop trying to handle this sin problem on their own. They could make the decision to trust in Jesus, to lay down their lives at the foot of the cross and let the blood of Jesus wash them completely clean. And on the day of judgment, Jesus will say, "What sin?" This could be their best day. The good news of what we believe is that when we bring these things to the foot of the cross, it's not about our perfection, but His. True disciples, this is your point for Discipleship Academy day number two. True disciples honor God by keeping their hearts close to Him. The lip part, honoring God with your lips, that comes second. But true disciples honor God by keeping their hearts close to Him. Disciples aren't perfect. Disciples are merely the ones who, when they're struggling with these things, lean into Jesus. Bring their hearts close to Jesus. Talk to Jesus about these things. A true disciple honors God by keeping his heart close. And you can stop listening to me in a second. But if you remember one thing today, it's this. If you're struggling, if something on that list, if some sin is burning in your heart and you're feeling tempted or broken in some way, I just want you to come to me. Come to a brother and sister. Come to Jesus. You know, the devil's going to make you feel like it's the scariest thing to do. It's the wrong thing to do. What will others think of you? But if you're struggling with some sin, if you're struggling with some deep, deep burden in your life, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it with Jesus, because it could be your best day ever. The blood of Jesus will wash you clean. But remember this, that a true disciple is not perfect. A true disciple doesn't have it together. You know, we looked at that list of who can worship in God's holy temple in the psalm today. I'm excluded. I don't know about the rest of you. But apart from the blood of Jesus, I don't have a chance. And hearing that list of what goes on in the hearts of the wicked like me, I don't have a chance except for in the blood of Jesus. And a true disciple brings him honor, not by being perfect, but by turning to him and asking Jesus to heal us. Let's pray. Father, what a broken place we've made. You made it perfect and we did the rest. There's so much hurt, so much brokenness. So many times where our hard hearts lead us away from you, but today, Lord, we just stand at the foot of the cross and give our hearts over to you. We want to be brand new. We want to be cleansed and healed. Lord, just remove all of that brokenness. And Lord, I know that there are some in this room that are really struggling with something on that list, something that's nagging at their hearts, and they just want you to take control of it. And so just in this time of silence, I would really invite you all to really consider what God is putting right there for you to confess and bring to him for healing. When we put our trust in Jesus, when we give him our hearts, this is our best day. And if you've offered yourself over to Jesus, and you've said, Lord, I need you, you're clean. This is your best day. You're saved and you're forgiven. And Jesus remembers your sin no more. And you're a disciple. Jesus, we thank you for that. We celebrate you. And Lord, we come to you now for communion. We come to you now and ask that you would just join us and be present as we come up and say we need you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.